السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات، مجيب الدعوات، رفيع الدرجات، وهو الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات، رافع السماوات منزل الآيات، إلهنا خالقنا ورازقنا ليس لها رب سواه. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وخليله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. فقد قال الله تعالى في كلامه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنك لعلى خلق عظيم، صدق الله العظيم. All praise and glory be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, sustainer, provider, protector, controller of every single thing exists. Peace and salutation be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family members, companions, upon every single Muslim brothers and sisters who followed and who is following, who will follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, with the limited time given to me, I would not be able to justify the topic given to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's his family life, especially in the perspective of a husband. In the words I record, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah himself declaring that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the greatest qualities. When the creator, Rabbul Izzat Allah, when the creator himself, when Allah gives us the assurance, when Allah says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the greatest qualities and characteristic, nobody else has to give a testimony about the characteristic of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such, the history have recorded, and the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been recorded, every single incident, it has been recorded, that and all those things bear witness and testify Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who possesses the greatest qualities and the greatest character he had. My respected brothers, and we all know about the book where Michael Hart, when he wrote the book called The Hundreds, the 100 great people who live in this world, great people who live in this world, and top of the list he brings Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not a Muslim, but he studied the biography of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam letter to letter. He went through every incident, and he studied all great people's biography, and he was convinced first in the list that should be Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one. And he mentioned in his book, he said, it might surprise many people that bringing Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in top of the list, because he is, and many people might even criticize me for it. And he gives the answer, he says, he is the only person, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only person who perfected in all aspects of human life. He was best and excellent in all aspects of human life. Others, when you find them, they are very good when it comes to social affairs, but when it comes to family life, they have failed. Some are very good when it comes to military aspect, but when it comes to their personal life, they have failed. But when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was perfect in every single aspect. He was perfect. He is multidimensional. You can look at in any angle you want. As a prophet, as a teacher, as a conqueror, as a leader, as a politician, in any angle, you will find best example in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And my respected brothers, and we men here, I think one of the difficult tasks, those who are married will know, sisters, please forgive me, but the most difficult task is trying to be being a good husband. It's not easy. It's very difficult. And every day, how much ever you learn, we make mistakes. Every day we make mistake and we learn. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to being a husband, he was loving, caring, and he had affection towards his family. He was giving time, devoted, every single thing. And my respected brothers and elders in Islam, and one aspect, we live in a Western world, we know the media, and one area where the Orientalist and the media, they try to show a bad picture of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to regarding of marriage. That is the topic of polygamy. If I have time, inshallah, I will touch that. But my dear respected brothers and elders in Islam, for every single of those things, there is answer. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did anything without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single word which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uttered, it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. Every single thing. So, it is very appropriate the way, the order of the program. I think Mawlana Ibrahim Madani has spoken, he has delivered a lecture on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a Rasul. So we as Muslim, before we look at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any aspect of his life, any part, anything, any role, first we must remember he is Rasulullah. And it's very interesting, I found something as a student of Seerah, I found something, his daughters, his uncles, his father-in-law, his wife, his children, everybody refers to him after the prophethood, not with their relationship, they refer to him, Ya Rasulullah. They refer to him as Rasulullah. Even Aisha radiallahu anha, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, you know, loved her so much. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to play with her, everything, but she did not, you know, step the boundary. She remembered that every time she calls, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah can be my husband, but it comes first, he is a Rasul of Allah. Because if I disobey, that's what, amongst Sahabas, everybody, his father-in-law, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, was very close friend of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never ever, you will never find anywhere in the history, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, call him as Ya Muhammad. No, no. Call him Ya Rasulullah. So we as Muslims, first we need to put on that and look at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Rasulullah. Then after that, whatever it is. And my respected brothers, and elders in Islam, when it comes to married life, especially being husband, each and every one of us, we have learned being husband based on our environment. We have seen, okay, my father, he was a husband, then this is how he treated my mom. My uncle or my brother, we have learned, we all have certain cultures we have adopted. But remember, my respected brother, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living in a culture is very vulnerable. Where women were treated not like human being. Women were never ever given equal rights. Their opinion was not taken. They were kept away. They were buried alive. This is what happened at that time. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one incident, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu records, he says, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu, very interesting. When I see a lot of young men here, very eager, very thirst, I think this incident will be very appropriate for all of us. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was waiting for one whole year to ask one incident by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Only Umar radiallahu anhu knew about it detail. But he was patient for one whole year because to get a right opportunity to ask Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. The incident, ninth year, many scholars say the ninth year after the Hijri. Oh, there's a difference of opinion. It was the 5th year, 6th year, 7th year. Whatever said and done. That's another thing that we find in Seerah. Some of the time when exactly it happened, it's confirmed this incident took place, but when exactly happened, that's not confirmed. There is some hikmah behind it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed away from his wives for 29 days. For a valid reason. For 29 days he stayed away. The reason we know, in the later part of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, the wealth coming in. When the wealth coming in, all the sahabas, their life standard start raising up. But Rasulullah and his family's life standard is as it is. As women, we all know generally, human being, we get affected with the environment. All the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, our mothers, my dear respected brothers, again, when we discuss this incident, we have to look at them. They are Ummahatul Mu'mineen, our mothers. They are our mothers. There's nothing wrong what they did. Nothing wrong what they did. But since they are being the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintained a very high, when it comes to the limit, the rank was very high, and the principles were given to them very high. So you want to be there, then you have to sacrifice certain things. If you want to be there. So they, all of them lobbied together. They had a discussion, all the wives, and asked for better living standard. It's not mentioned what they were asking, but better living standard. And it was headed by two Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha and Hafsa radiallahu anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Ahzab about both of them made tawbah. For this request, it's not haram. What they made, they have the right to request the husband. They have the right to request the husband. So, when this incident happened, Umar radiallahu anhu got personally involved in this matter. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Quran have mentioned about two women who made tawbah. He wanted to make sure that who are they? I want to know the names. Because Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is a student of tafsir, so he wants to know detailly who are they. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was mentioning this, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, along with that, he mentioned certain things. He said, I had a dispute with my wife, and then my wife was answering back. And I got really annoyed and angry. And then, when I got annoyed and angry, my wife said, your daughter Hafsa, she speaks back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I got really annoyed, and I went to Hafsa radiallahu anhu. I went to Hafsa and I reprimanded her and I went to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha and I reprimanded her as well. But then Ummu Salama radiallahu anha said, this is our personal affairs, Ya Umar, you're getting too deeply involved in our personal matters. She was not ready to listen. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anha said that at that time, women were never ever given. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to treat women. At that time, women were not treated and they were not given equal right. And men who treat women gently, who take care of, you know, women, take care of them, love them, give them respect, not regarded as men at that time. In this situation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fight against the environment. When some form of actions are accepted, it is easy for you to follow that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going against, and he was proving the haq, and he lived with them. He lived with them. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to every marriage, for every marriage there is a religious reason, and there is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get married. Khadija radiallahu anha, first quality I want, as husband and wife, we have to be loyal to each other. This is one of the best quality and characteristic Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possess as a husband. Be loyal. Be loyal. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's marriage to Khadija radiallahu anha, we know in that marriage, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan. He had nobody. He did not have proper wealth. But Khadija radiallahu anha accepted him. She wanted to marry Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to refer that I was nurtured by the love of Khadija radiallahu anha. This is the answer that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to. Whenever, after even Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, he was so loyal. Whenever a qurban used to take place, he used to send the meat to Khadija radiallahu anha, friends and family members. Once one of Khadija radiallahu anha's sisters, she had a family matter. When she came to talk to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much emotionally taken up and giving so much of attentively, and he was listening to her, Aisha radiallahu anha got annoyed. As women, every woman has jealous and they have right to be jealous. Aisha radiallahu anha remarked and she said, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace with someone better? In another narration, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never leaves the house without mentioning Khadija radiallahu anha. And another narration, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I never ever felt jealous about any other wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except for Khadija radiallahu anha, but I have never met her. She was a young girl. I have never met her, but I feel jealous because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her so much. He never fails to mention Khadija. This is the loyalty. This is not the fake acting, you know, we send WhatsApp or, you know, we text them, we love you, we miss you. We know while you're sending, you miss you. You're not really missing. You're not really missing her. But you just, you know, if you don't text her, you're away, you come home, you're in trouble. You know, this is what happened to us. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not. He was not acting. He never lies. He will never act and pretend something. He was naturally attached to Khadija radiallahu anha. That was the nature of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to keep mentioning about it. And in that incident, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I was natured by the love of Khadija radiallahu anha. And even everybody forsaken me. Nobody was there to take care of me and help me. Khadija radiallahu anha, she was there. And Allah made her the mother of my children. He was so loyal. There was a lady when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to live in Makkah. Her name is known as some Hassana. Different narration. Elderly lady. She came and tapped the door. Long time after Khadija radiallahu anha's death. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very eagerly listening to her, talking to her. Then again Aisha radiallahu anha asked, this old lady, why are you so excited? Why are you so excited talking to this lady? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not about the lady. This is the story, the memory that he gets. This lady used to visit us when I was married to Khadija radiallahu anha. She used to visit me. So this is the memory. He was loyal to his wife. He was loyal and he dedicated his life. So my respected brothers, this is the first quality that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. That is the loyalty. As husband, we must be loyal. We must be loyal towards our spouses. And I think sisters are listening too. Many a time what happened in lecture, sisters take the ahadith and the seerah, which is regarded to the husband, and they come and come home and say, Lobby, you know, see, this is what how Rasulullah did. And we come here, we listen to all the lectures, we're pretending to the sisters, and we go and argue with them. No. Whatever, we must see what I can benefit from it. When you have a good husband, that means you must remember that when you have a good wife, that means you're a good person. You're a good person, Allah has given you a good wife. Sometimes Allah tests you other way around, but still remember, Allah has given you, you know, Allah knows what is best for you. We should know how to handle and tackle and live with them. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, a second very important thing, as husband and wife, we must remember, anger is something that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always used to control and manage. In marriage life, anger is like, you know, it will destroy. It will destroy all your pleasure. It will destroy all your happiness, anger. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to certain matters, yes. When the wives used to do something wrong, yes, he used to reprimand them. But then it's done with that. He does not continue and repeat telling, repeating them. Certain incidents used to take place. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get angry, but then he used to divert the anger somewhere else. Once we know, in Bayhaqi there is a narration. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had many wives. In the later part of his life, he had about 9 wives, we all know. And they were in 2 groups. In Bayhaqi, these are facts. We must understand, they were human beings. They were not angels.
They were not superhuman. They were human beings like us. They had same feelings. The mothers and brothers, sisters, everybody. They had the same feeling. They were in two groups. One group is led by Aisha radiallahu anha. Another group was led by Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. It's mentioned Hizbu Aisha, Hizbu Ummu Salama. Hizbu Aisha and Hizbu Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. And the group belonged to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. They got together. They say Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, that go and tell all the Sahabas, when you Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend the time with Aisha radiallahu anha, they used to send gifts. So these wives felt a little jealous. They said, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, go and tell Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the Sahabas that wherever he is to send gifts. First time, second time, she's keep on telling Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep quiet. He did not answer. Sometime, for certain things, silence is the best answer. As husband, we must know how to keep silence. When we know we cannot give them a valid answer, you will never ever win. You will never ever win. They say, when you have done a mistake and you accept the mistake, that means you are matured and you are intelligent. When you have done, you are right, and still you accept that you are wrong, that means you are married. That is the theory of marriage. You are correct. You have not done nothing wrong. You have all the, reasons, and you can argue the fact, everything. But you say, yes, I am wrong. I am very sorry. Except that means you are married. You are married, that means. This is the maturity that you gain. Initially, young men, we will not know. We'll think, okay, I need to prove I am right. I need to, in marriage, there is no proving that you are right and she is wrong and she is right and I am right. It's that's not the way. In marriage, not proving who is correct and who is wrong. Here Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet until he could not take it anymore. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha keep on speaking about, mentioning about it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one reason, said, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, do not speak about Aisha radiallahu anha, because whenever I used to be on her lap, the wahi used to reveal. So remember that she is greater than any one of you. So that's it. When he gave this answer, after that Ummu Salama radiallahu anha did not bring this topic up. Even the Sahabiyat, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, they knew their limits. They were human beings, they have the natural feelings, but they knew their limit. Once another story, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha used to send some food when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Aisha radiallahu anha's house. You know these politics. Aisha radiallahu anha got really annoyed, and Sahabas who were in the front, what did she do? She, tapped the plate down, plate broke, the food was spread all over. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got really angry. But he did not express his anger. Just imagine, you stay, your guests, friends are there, at home your wife behave like this. What would be your reaction at that time? You'll feel very angry, my wife, he disgraces me. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said anything immediately. Scholars of psychology, they take this incident and they say, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he used to divert the attention to somewhere and control the anger. Immediately Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Sahabas, your mother felt a little bit jealous, that's it. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divert, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, my wife. When you feel my wife, you feel very angry. Because my wife cannot do that. Because you have more connection, connection to her. You say, my wife. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately divert attention towards Sahabas and said, your mother felt a little bit jealous. Sahabas justify that. Sahabas said, Ya Rasulullah, she have all the right to become jealous. Sahabas immediately justified, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately reprimanded her and told that you need to replace with another plate. Took the food, he consumed, gave the Sahabas to eat, and he said, just replace it. Finish. That's done. That topic was not taken up at all. It was over. It was just the incident. In marriage, you have to take every incident as just an incident and walk over. If you're gonna keep, in your backlog, it just get accumulated, and you will never be able to live. You keep repeating it? No. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to forget it. We go ahead. And my respected brothers, And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is how he controlled the anger. So in marriage, as husbands, we must always know to control our anger. Look at them, you know, they are wives. And remember, there's two wasiyah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of death, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us, given us so much of nasiha. So much of nasiha. But in the time of death, he's laying down, he chose two important advice. One is about salah. He said, as-salah, as-salah, as-salah. Take care of your salah. Take care of your salah. Take care of your namaz. And second thing, istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Handle your women in a good, in a better way. This is the wasiyah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the wasiyah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to loving his wife, spending time, I'll tell you so many incidents, not one or two. And there is a book written, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has an excellent husband. Excellent husband. How did he express the love when it comes to marriage of Safiya radiallahu anha? Safiya radiallahu anha, amongst all his wives, there was only two. One is one of his slave girl. There is difference of opinion. Maria bin Shamaun, Kibitiya radiallahu anha. And other one is Safiya radiallahu anha. They were not Arabs. And Hafsa radiallahu anha once told Safiya radiallahu anha that you're a Jew. And she was very soft. You know, different women has different character. Safiya radiallahu anha, very soft. And she used to cry emotionally. Immediately she get emotion. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found Hafsa radiallahu anha, Safiya radiallahu anha, Safiya bin Huyay radiallahu anha, she was crying. He asked, what made you cry? Say, Ya Rasulullah, Hafsa called me, you know, she says that I'm a Jew. You see, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood, he did not go back to Hafsa radiallahu anha and reprimanded her or scold her. She understood this is a natural jealousy. So she made Safiya radiallahu anha feel comfortable. This is something very important. We must make our wives feel comfortable and honored. They want that. We must treat them respectfully. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to treat every single wife sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave them that honor and dignity. He says, Safiya, why didn't you tell her, radiallahu anha, why didn't you tell her? Your uncle is Musa alayhi salam. Your grandfather is Harun alayhi salam. And your husband is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are much greater than her. She has only one connection to a Nabi, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have connection to three, actually, Harun alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, the problem was solved. She was comfortable because she felt honored. She felt honored. This is how he made every one of his wives feel really honored and this is our responsibility. As husband, we must make them feel they are honored. They're respected at home. They're respected. And their opinions, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to consult them. There is a da'if hadith and there is amongst our men, and I find that normally in Asian part of the world, they say, don't take the mashura of your wife, it's not khayr. It's not khayr, you're going to fall in trouble. When she said do it, you don't do it. When she said don't, you do it. There is a hadith, but when you read through that hadith, this hadith has a lot of weak, you know, rawis. So we cannot take hukum from a hadith which is based on a weak narration. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to consult his wife. He used to consult his wife. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. We know in time of Hudaybiyah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in that journey he was with Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. That is the first time Sahabas disobeyed. Disobeyed means for a while they did not immediately act. If not Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he said, immediately Sahabas used to act. At that moment, they did not immediately act because they were really angry. They knew this agreement of Hudaybiyah is not fair. So why we need to give in? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabas, come out of ihram, shave your head, slaughter, and we are getting back. They were really angry and annoyed. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everybody just stood still. He went back to the tent. Was very worried. He related this to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. He told this to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha.
Umm Salama radiallahu anha's advice to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the mashura of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She said, Ya Rasulullah, don't do anything. You go out, you come out of ihram, ask your barber to shave your head, see what's going to happen. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately act upon her advice, and is the narrator says the sahabas, they were really angry, and they were really, you know, sad what happened. They were shaving each other's head like they're going to kill each other because they were bleeding. They were so, immediately they obeyed. And this was the example and the mashura of Umm Salama radiya. We need to consult, we need to share things with them. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to marriage life, that is a room where you can enjoy in halal way. Enjoyment in halal way, there is a framework is given to us. And we need to be happy and romantic. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lay on his, you know, wife's lap. There's two narrations what I found. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was leaving this world, this is the dua some of the time I make too. When he was leaving this world, that he was laying in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha. She used to, you know, comfort him, and the death was very comfortable. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. My dear respected brothers, that is the biggest fitna, the trial, the test that Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced. That is departure of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will never ever get to era or time, a period where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived an example. He was amongst us. He left, that is the qadr Allah. Inshallah, one day we're going to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same way when Khadija radiallahu anha, when she was leaving this world, she was laying in the lap of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was there. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, you know, consoling her, you know, advising her, giving all the nasiha. She was really worried what is going to happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her that after your death, Rasulullah is going to have a better future. She was very happy. The Fath Makkah, the victory of Makkah, all this was shown to Khadija radiallahu anha. She was very happy. So this is, as husband and wife, we need to share the moments of happiness, sad. This happens, ups and downs goes. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to share all this with his wives. I'll tell you, spending time, this is something very important. Spending time with your wives. Safiya radiallahu anha, again, Rasulullah used to divide his time. I'll tell you how he used to manage his time management. It's good for me and all of you. He used to have time for ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day and night, he has divided the night into two parts. One part to worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other part for the family. During the day, he has divided the day into three parts. That's one, it's when it comes ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other things for the community, for the ummah, and other part for his personal need and his wife's. Divide his time. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always be considering the situation of every wife. He used to always inquire, what is happening, what's happening. When sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be in itikaf, he used to have a lot of concern about his wife. When he used to be in itikaf, he was concerned about us. Just imagine, he was concerned about us. Then how, what are we going to say about the concern that he had for his wife? When he used to be in itikaf, all his other wives used to go back to their family, except for Safiya radiallahu anha, because she didn't have family there. Her family, all of the family died in the battle of Khaybar. You know, they were all Jews, uncle, father, so she was alone. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know in itikaf, you cannot have any contact with your wife, but when it comes to matter of Safiya radiallahu anha, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send sahabi and call her. She used to come, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to talk to her for a few minutes, and until she feel comfortable, Rasulullah used to talk to her and say, she say, Ya Rasulullah, you in itikaf, let me go. Rasulullah used to walk halfway and let her go and come back. The reason that for 10 days, if you're going to leave her alone, nobody is talking to her, no one to, you know, ask her problems, what is happening, what will happen? Her psychological condition. Even in the itikaf, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to consider this, and he used to give that care. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know the story of Aisha radiallahu anha. He knew every one of them. He knew their feelings, and he acted accordingly. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she narrates this hadith, she adds some things.
She had a point in this when she narrated the hadith. Aisha radiallahu anha, once, you know, Abyssinians, after the Asr Salah, that was a practice in Medina, the youngsters used to stay in the, you know, outside of the Masjid al-Nabawi, and they used to practice. They used to practice horse riding, wrestling, all these things used to happen. Then Abyssinians, they were displaying their Abyssinian skills. Aisha radiallahu anha, being a young girl, behind the curtain, she was looking at. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this, Rasulullah stood as a curtain. And she was behind Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, touching her body with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited there. As long as Aisha radiallahu anha said, I felt bored looking at it, but Rasulullah never felt bored standing for me. He stood there for me. He stood there for me until I said, enough, you can go. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. He was cowering because hijab, so he was cowering with his garment, so others cannot see Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha used to see that. So he knew the feeling of a young girl. He knew. And he gave room for it. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, you should know the young girls, they have certain feelings, so you should give room for it. As long as it does not, Sharia does not forbid. Sharia, so sometimes we think we very, become sometimes over-religious. I'm saying religious means always balance. That's what we all, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. When you want to be pious, it's always balance. You do extreme, Islam does not approve extremes in any angle, this side or that angle, this here. Sometimes without knowledge, we extremely strict them so much, so they feel the religion is difficult. They feel we cannot enjoy in Islam. So they want to come out of it. So when the room is given, we should allow that. We should give that room. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to allow. Once, Abu Bakr Siddiq got angry. Mina, that is the day of Eid. Aisha radiallahu anha, friends have come. And they were sitting in Rasul sallallahu's house and they were, you know, singing songs. They're young girls. They were singing songs. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was covering his face and laying down. Abu Bakr Siddiq came and he got annoyed. He was angry. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr Siddiq, leave them. Leave the young girls alone. This is what it meant. Leave the young girls alone. This is the day of Eid. This is the day of Eid. So what happened? They were in within their household, within that frame. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give them that comfort room. Aisha radiallahu anha said two incidents. We know the incident of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having a race with Aisha radiallahu anha. You know, when you read the narration, it's amazing. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in expedition, was in a journey with the army. He's an army commander. My next topic is going to be as a conqueror. So he is the leader of the army, he's a commander. So if a commander will not play around, what he did, because he knew he has been so serious with the battlefield, with, you know, guiding the army here and there, he had not spent time. He told the army, he told the Sahabas, you leave forward, go ahead, I'll come and join you. After the Sahabas left, he said, Aisha radiallahu anha, come, let's run. Now they have their own privacy. So Aisha, come, let's run. In the first race, Aisha radiallahu anha won. Aisha then said, I forgot about it. Few months pass, long time, again on another journey. It didn't happen same time, another journey. Rasulullah remembered it. Because these are things that you should carry. You need to have something. If your relationship has to go, you need to have a string. You need to continue that. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left that string, so he wants to continue it. Later, in another expedition, again Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahabas, okay, you go forward, I'll come and join you all. So Aisha said, come, let's run. At this time, Aisha then said, I have become a bit older and become heavier a bit. And this time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won the race and he told me this one for that. You see, being Rasulullah, how serious, what a great responsibility he has. But he never forget that he is a husband. What happens to us, the pressure in masjid, pressure in the school, or pressure in the office, we are the CEO or director, finance controller, all these, we keep this in our head and we go into the home. No. Remove that cap, keep aside and go, I am husband, I am father. When you carry that, you know, you go to the office, you have everybody come, yes sir, you cannot expect your wife to come and say, yes sir, no. You cannot expect. And we need to understand their situation. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood, being an army commander, Here he's leading an army. But at that time when they're getting back, he felt, okay, I need to give time for her. And he actually honored their feelings. In one journey, Aisha radiallahu anha had borrowed her sister's necklace and came. One narration, necklace or anklet, and she lost it. She felt very bad. What happened? She borrowed it from her sister. What is she going to say? She felt very bad. She told, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I went to my nature call and I lost it. What do I do? The entire army is waiting. Rasulullah said, okay, we're not going, we're staying here. Told the army, go and look at the necklace. Oh, everybody was annoyed. Everybody went, they cannot go and tell Rasulullah, and they went and spoke to Abu Bakr Siddiq, your daughter, you have not brought her well, you know, she kept the entire army. And the sahabas and the ulamas explained, they were not worried because they were delayed. They were worried because they did not have enough water. Salatul Asr is coming ahead. And then if they stay long here, they will not be able to perform wudu. This was their worry. They were not worried because of their personal reason. They were worried about the salah. So Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood. He delayed the army. He delayed them. He said, all of you, fine. They were going around, couldn't find. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the words of what? Tayammum at that journey. You know, immediately all the sahabas who, you know, came and spoke to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Ya Abu Bakr, this is not the first time your family have brought blessing for us. This is not the first time your family have brought blessing for us. That incident, because that incident happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the words of tayammum. Even today we are enjoying that. Even today we are enjoying it. And after that they found, why did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not about, you know, a necklace or something. It's something very small. You can buy it. But her feelings, she has to give it back to her sister. This is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And when it comes to stories, when it comes to marriage with Juwayriya radiallahu anha, Zainab radiallahu anha, we know in Western world, they criticize certain marriages. One is the marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha, and Zainab radiallahu anha, and Juwayriya radiallahu anha, and Safiya radiallahu anha. Believe me, history have recorded, the seerah have recorded it. All these marriages took place with the qadr of Allah and with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do with his own will. Before the marriage, Juwayriya radiallahu anha dreamed. She dreamt that the moon was coming and falling on her lap. Safiya radiallahu anha had the same dream. Safiya radiallahu anha had the same dream, and she was married at that time for a Jew. When she related this story to the Jew, for her previous husband gave her a blow, and she had a blue mark when she got married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Rasulullah asked her, why, what happened to you? Said, this is what happened. I dreamt this, and then my husband said, are you wishing to marry the king of Yathrib? That's the interpretation. He knew the interpretation. Are you dreaming that? Are you want to marry the king of Yathrib? That's what happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. When it comes to marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha, Jibreel alayhi salam came twice in the dream of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and showed Aisha radiallahu anha, this is your wife, gonna be wife in this world and Jannah. This Allah selected Aisha radiallahu anha. When it comes to marriage of Zainab bin Jahsh radiallahu anha, he's, you know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, you call it first son, or the son who Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, boy who grew up with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zayd radiallahu anha, got married to Zainab radiallahu anha. They could not live together. There was dispute and he divorced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the words immediately that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Zainab radiallahu anha in marriage to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, if you go through when it comes to the characters of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can summarize certain characteristics. This each and every husband and wife we should possess when it comes to our marriage life. One, like I said, loyalty. And then again, loving. Loving your wife. Loving your spouse. Not just love for sake of love. Love is a real love. You need to love them. And actually, you need to know how to forgive and forget.
policy of forgiving and forgetting. We need to have this. And mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, mawadda and rahmah, love and mercy. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be very merciful towards us. Very merciful. So when you go through every sahabiyat, Juwayriyah radiallahu anha's marriage, it was a blessing for the entire Banu Mustalaq. Entire Banu Mustalaq. Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, in the battle of Banu Mustalaq, she was one of the captives, and she's the daughter of the leader, Al-Harith, Juwayriyah bint Al-Harith. Al-Harith is the leader, was the daughter of that. When she was a captive, she came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she told the master, now she become a slave. She said, I will buy off my slave. You know, I will free myself. She came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When she came to Rasulullah, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm in great trouble. My whole family members, everybody have become slaves. They are captive slaves, and I need to free myself. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let me give you a better idea. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered this. Will you marry me? Juwayriyah radiallahu anha said, yes, of course, I will marry you. Soon as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, all the sahabas, all the family members who were under the sahabas, they released them, all of them embraced Islam. It mentioned more than 80 or more than 110 family members were there. This was a blessing for the entire family. My respected brothers, time does not permit me. So one thing that we see, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed the characteristic that each and every one of us should have if to make our, you know, family life a successful, happy family life. And take things easy. In marriage, don't be very serious, very hard and harsh. Take it easy. Take it easy and, you know, overlook certain mistakes and understand your husband, your human being. Rasulullah used to help at home. He used to do everything. He used to be a normal husband. He used to say, this is what a normal person, go at home. He was a husband. He treated his wives, you know, with kindness, with, you know, with love. He was very patient, give and take policy. He used to relate story. You know, there's a long, lengthy narration. MashaAllah, you have a lot of ulama. And youngsters, you should go and ask one of the alim, the story of Ummu Zara and Abu Zara. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to listen to the stories. Aisha radiyallahu anha narrated this story of Ummu Zara and Abu Zara. In the end, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am to you like Abu Zara was to Ummu Zara, but I will not divorce you. This was the last stage. Because Abu Zara was very good to his wife. In the end, he divorced her. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am to you like Abu Zara, like Ummu Zara, but I will not divorce you. This is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. My dear respected brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ilm, knowledge, and the characteristic, the quality to be a good husband that will give and nourish our family and that we can enjoy the family life. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.